Uh-oh, somebody wants to get up and leave right about now because they just saw themselves on TV or on the screen. But so today we are going to be in week two of our series, I Choose. And as you can tell, we're gonna talk about one of the things I think a lot of us struggle with, and that's being able to choose surrender over control. And control is one of those things that we always want to have. Sometimes we need to realize that control often is an illusion, and it is not what we choose for it to, or what we want it to be. But it is something that we seem to always want to chase over. And so today we are going to talk about surrender over control. Next week we're going to kind of kick it in a little bit and go with choosing discipline over regret, and I'm really stoked about that one. That's going to be one of those I'm kind of ready to get on with. But today is one of those where if I had to choose one of the three or one of the 4 weeks of this series that probably hits me the most and that I struggle with the most, it's going to be this one. And some people in the room are like, "You better believe it, buddy. Yeah, that is you." And so for everyone in the room who is saying that somebody else needs to hear this and needs to find out about control, let me just tell you that you better take good notes, because you're probably one of those people too. You're already trying to control who hears the message. So we need to kind of drop all of the expectations and all the finger pointing and elbowing and all that good stuff, and kind of be ready to listen to what God has to say to us. And so let's just be honest in the room, you know, right? We're in church, right? Isn't that where we're supposed to be honest? But if you struggle with wanting control over something, just raise your hand. Yeah, that one row right there, they're just too young to realize it yet, but they're there too. So we all do. It's just one of those things that we all want to have control over something, we kind of battle with it. It's one of those, for some people, you know, we think about it, it's that person at work that we want to control. For some of us, it's our spouse. For some of us, our kids. For some of us, it's a circumstance, or, you know, whatever it is, there's things that we want to control. We want things to be our way, and we want it to be done that way, and we want everybody else to want it done that way so that we can kind of keep it in check. And so it's just one of those things. So maybe for you it's one thing, maybe it's another thing. For me, it's everything else. Yeah, like everything else. Just wanting to control it, wanting it to be the way that I want it to be, and trying to deal with it. So it's one of those things. I've been known to sit in the passenger seat. Not only do I push the brake and the gas with my foot, even though there's no real pedal, I have been known to reach over and grab the steering wheel. I have done it before. I just know if I do it with Kelly in the car, I'll draw back a nub. So I don't do that. But I have been known to do it, because it's one of those things. And probably if she and I disagree and fight about anything, it's the times that we ride together. If you've ever noticed, you always see us in separate cars. Sometimes that's just the way things work out, but most of the time it is, it's true. And so it just happens that way. You know, nobody else in my house can operate my remote control like I can. I am the king of the control. I got it. You know, if we're all in the room, I need to have it. And so it's one of those things. You know, control is one of the things that I probably struggle with most. And so what I want to do today is kind of address how we get here, because I know I'm not alone. Because some of the disagreements I have with, you know, with maybe even, and some of the things I struggle with and kind of rub up against some of the people, even sometimes in the room, is the fact that you want to control it, but I want to control it too. You know, it happens everywhere. It happens in your marriages. It happens at your jobs. It happens at your schools. It happens in your neighborhoods. It happens everywhere. That there's always people that want it this way and other people that want it that way. And so where those two people clash is a big thing. And here's what it really boils down to. So let's just cut to the chase. It just boils down to a spiritual issue. It really does. And so we need to be able to look at it from that perspective and be able to deal with it from that perspective, because it is a spiritual problem when we're trying to control everything and we're not letting things happen the way that God wants it to happen. There is a scripture that we're going to look at. It's one of the most quoted in the Bible. And so it gets quoted a lot. It's on a lot of little pictures hanging. Probably most of us have it on some kind of framed piece in our house, if we're being honest. But it's one of the most difficult or most quoted, but it's also one of the most difficult to truly live by. It always amazes me that we see it so much, yet we see so many people have such a struggle with it. And it's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." So we know that some of us have, you know, as I was reading it, you automatically said, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Listen, that word acknowledge and submit, those, that's however you want to look at it. It's this intimate letting go of to trust God to do what God can do. And so we struggle with being able to just release ourselves and release these things so that God can truly have control and do with them what needs to be done. I love the fact that it says to trust Him. Does anybody, I mean, I don't think if we were having a conversation, nobody would tell me, listen, I just don't trust God. You know, maybe there's, you know, somebody in the room that maybe has never come to a place to acknowledge Him for who He is and all of that. And that's one place. But if we've got to the place where, you know, we're here because He's important to us and we've acknowledged who God is and that He exists, then I don't think many of us would say, but I just don't trust Him. But yet, how we live our lives so often says, I don't trust Him. But He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think we're good at giving part of our heart, but maybe not all of it. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. Why can't we lean on our own understanding? Because there's a lot of things that we're just never going to understand. So we can't lean on something that's never going to be there, but we need to be able to submit to Him. That word submit, if you go to the Hebrew, it means it's the same word that acknowledge comes from. It's to know Him intimately. It's to know Him so closely that we know exactly where things come from. It's just to be so close. We're to submit to Him in everything, acknowledge Him. And when we are able to do that, then it says that He will make our path straight. I got to tell you, I think so often that our paths are not straight because we're just trying to hold on to so much and do it ourselves. We need to be able to let go and do that. So we hear the words, and we quote the words, we hang the words on our walls, but yet that's just not where we find ourselves. So today I want us to be able to dig down in here, because here's what happens with this control thing. When we try to control stuff, guess what? The more control we try to grab, the more we fear losing control. And the more we fear losing control, the more control we try to grab. And the more control we try to grab, the more we fear losing control. So it's a very cyclical type thing that really draws us down into this, and it just keeps building on itself until we find ourselves at a place that is not where God wants us to be. It's not what He's designed for us, and it's not who He's made us to be. So we find ourselves here eventually just edging God out and saying, you know what, God, I got this. And the truth is that we just don't. And so I want us to look in the Bible at an example that I think kind of plays this out very good for us to be able to see what happens when we don't allow God to be the one that's in control. In the Old Testament, there's the story of Abraham and Sarah. And if you go all the way back to the beginning, they weren't Abraham and Sarah. They were Abram and Sarah. And so they begin where God is here and he's made a promise to them. He promises Abram that he will be the father of many nations. He makes this promise to him that he's gonna have children, right? And that this is gonna happen to him. Not only is he gonna have like one or two, but he's gonna have a whole bunch. He's gonna be the father of nations. And so he's been made this promise, but yet something's happening and it's just not working out yet. Hadn't been able to get pregnant. No, there's no children being born. And so here's the situation that we find them in, where control and the trying to grab it really goes bad. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 1, it says this, that now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And so she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children." Remember, God made a promise, right? But she says, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Now, I mean, it sounds like some modern day soap opera, right? We see this kind of playing out here in this story, but God had made a promise, but his timing wasn't consistent with their timing, right? And so we see them take control, and because they do, things go really, really bad. If you don't know what happens next, some of you may know the story, but Hagar conceives and she has a son. His name is Ishmael, and Ishmael is where the Palestinian nation now comes from. It's where Muhammad came from. And if you know anything about what's going on in the world today, there's a little problem there, because eventually Sarah would have a child and he would be named Isaac, and out of Isaac would come the Jewish nation where Christ would come. So now, if you wonder why the Muslims and the Christians just don't get along, here it is. It's because control went really bad, because they didn't listen to God and didn't wait on his timing, but they took control away from him, made their own plan, and because of that, now there's, for all of these centuries, there's been this angst in our world. See, it's not by accident that we have many of the things that we have today. It's because there was a decision made long ago that where somebody chose to go with control over surrender. But today I want us to really learn what it's like to have surrender over control. How do we choose that? And how do we see God's plan play out? There is a big spiritual lesson here. If you ever come across a chick named Hagar, you probably ought to stay away from her, okay? I'm just saying. But anyway, I don't know who would hook up with a girl named that. But anyway, that's the thing. But here's what happens. If you're a single girl and you want a single guy, but you just can't find the one, so you say, you know what? He's okay. I really like him. He's cute. I love him, right? So it's no big deal. You know, I'll just lead him to Christ. Listen, let me just tell you, that happens very rarely. I have to be pretty good at when I had a dating ministry back in the day. Had pretty good odds. But let me just tell you, it doesn't work out like that for everybody. It's one of those things. That's a joke. They used to pick on me about that. But anyway, Kelly said she would, my wife Kelly said she'd never date me because I had a dating ministry and all that. Anyway, so never mind. That's another story. We'll grab coffee. I'll tell you all about it. But here's the thing. If you want something to happen in your life and you're seeking God for it and it's not happening, that doesn't mean that you need to go and make it happen. Because you could find yourself in a place that you just aren't meant to be. Maybe it's a financial issue and you're struggling, you know, and you've been around the church for a long time and you're trying to figure out how to make all this happen financially. You know that the Bible says that we're to be generous and we're to give, but you're figuring out, how do I do that? You know, and so, that doesn't mean that if you're supposed to give it, that you just take it and keep it if things aren't working out the way you wanted it to. No, he's got a plan for all of that. And we need to be able to do that. Could be people at work, that you need to be able to delegate to. Listen, you're just going to have to understand that some of this stuff is where I struggle the greatest. I'm not a good delegator. I'm the control freak that says, you know what? If somebody else ain't going to do it, I'm just going to do it myself. And I'm going to do it the way I want it done. You know, sometimes I can't sit around and I feel like I can't sit around and wait for somebody else to do it. I'm just going to go do it myself. But sometimes that doesn't work out so good because it takes me away from something else that I really need to be spending my time doing. We all find ourselves in these people at work who need to be able to do it. You just kind of push them out of the way and say, look, let me just do it. Maybe some of you are kind of like, those helicopter parents. You ever seen those where they hover over their kids and they won't let their kids, learn anything on their own. They kind of hover over them and every decision that the kid needs to make, they make for them. That science project that needs to be done. And they end up going and doing it for their kid themselves rather than letting their kid, get a zero for not doing it. Come on, y'all know, some of you are in here, we do it. But we need to be able to let things happen the way that it's supposed to happen. Listen, there's a recent study that was out that said that 8% of college graduates take their parents on job interviews with them. Seriously, like how is that even a percent, right? But 8% of college graduates being interviewed had their parents with them. Let me just tell you, if you ever want to work here, please don't bring your mama with you, okay? Even if she's got to drive you to work or to the interview, tell her to stay in the car. Circle the block or something, because that ain't going to work. I can tell you really quick. But here is our society where things like this are happening. Parents are trying to have so much control over their kids' future, they won't even let them go to do a job interview without them. It's crazy. But the reality of it is that we all have that thing that we're trying to hold on to that we just won't let go of so that it can happen the way that God wants it to happen. So here's what I want you to do. You got a program when you came in. And on that program is a little statement. It says, name the thing what you're trying to control. You need to go ahead and name it. Don't keep trying to pretend like it's not there. Name the thing that you're trying to control. Maybe it is your kid's future. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's the way that things happen. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's whatever you know that it is. There's that thing that's there, and because of you trying to hold on to it and make it happen the way that you want it to happen, things just aren't working out so well. And here's where we got to be. We just got to be willing to call it what it is. Now, some of you I know are sitting here, and you're all looking at me and like you're not writing anything. And you're just going to prove to me that you're just not going to write anything because you're just not in control. Listen, you need to write that down. Because we're all trying to figure out what it is. And we're all trying to hold on to those things. Maybe it's that you're trying to control your kids. Maybe it's that you're trying to, you know, control your grown kids. Maybe it's that you're trying to control your grown kids' kids because you think they're not raising your grandbabies good enough. Whatever it is. There's those things that we hold on to, your job, future, your finances, your spouse, whatever. You know, think you won't let your spouse chew gum because they chew it a little too loud. I don't know what it is, but you got to be paying attention to what it is. You got to be willing to choose surrender over control. Got to quit trying to make things happen for God when God's the one that needs to be the one making it happen for you. So let me give you three questions that you need to ask yourself to help you choose this surrender, to choose surrender over control. The first one is this: is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? In other words, are people going to be really upset about it, you know, not being completely done? Is it worth you being paying attention to it and even making any acknowledgement of it? You know, one of the things for me is, as we come up on our third year anniversary here at URA Community Church, here we are 3 years into this thing, and as the pastor, do you think there's some things that I'm probably not happy with? I mean, do you think there's probably some things that I wish we could do different? Do you think that I walk in the building and begin to look at things and say, you know, I just don't like it like that? I mean, do you think that that probably happens still? I mean, do you think that, like, we have a meeting about a ministry and I probably say, you know, I wish that was not like that. Wish it was better. Do you ever think I think those kind of things? Because I do. There's a lot of things that I wish that we did different here. There's a lot of things that I wish we could do different here. And you're looking at me like, well, you're the pastor. We'll do something about it. Well, we're working on that. But there's things that I wish that we could, that we had been doing different the whole time. I wish there were things that we were going to, you know, that we were right now, just that were better than what we would call them to, you know, be. But the truth is that if I came in and changed everything that I want to change right at one time, you know what? It would look a lot different around here, and I'd probably have a lot of people mad at me, and a lot of people would be frustrated. Does that mean that we're doing a bunch of things wrong? No. It just means we can do it better. It means that we can reach more people. It means that we can love our neighbors better, that we can help people develop a love for God and a love for others and a love for sharing the good news. There are things that we can do to do that better. But if I came in and tried to change all of those at one time, listen, there'd be a lot of demoralized people. And they're not doing anything wrong. It's just that we've got to grow. I don't mean number-wise. I just mean there's some spiritual growth that needs to happen. There's spiritual growth that needs to happen in my life. There's spiritual growth that needs to happen in our leadership team. There's spiritual growth that needs to happen in our ministry leaders. And there's spiritual growth that needs to happen within all of us. Listen, if we've arrived and there's not growth that needs to happen, we're out of touch. And we think we're so in control that we don't even have to grow. And that's a scary place to be. So there's growth that needs to happen, and it needs to happen as God leads it. We got to be willing to try to see what He wants to do. And so for some of the things that we have to look at, though, is it even worth my concern to worry about that now when there's other things that need to be done? Listen, there's one of the things that drives me nuts. Can I just be honest with you? It drives me nuts. If you walk into the lobby, and see, now all you're going to see it if you hadn't already seen it, but there's spots all over the walls where we've cleaned the walls. We cleaned the walls and we got spots. But it's just how it happened, right? And so spots drive me nuts. But what's more important? That the spots on the walls are gone, or that people hear about Jesus? Is it more important that we take care of the spots on the wall, or me call somebody that I know is going through something difficult and spend time with them? Anybody? So I know I always ask those rhetorical questions, but that's just that's one that you can answer. It's the people, right? I got to believe that the people are way more important than the walls. You would tell you another thing that drives me nuts? When I pull into the parking lot, just be honest with me. How many of you pulled in the parking lot and seen the trees growing in our bushes? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of us. And why do we notice the trees growing in the bushes? Because they're not supposed to be there. You're exactly right. But it's a control thing, right? We want to be in control of that. But what's more important, me taking care of the trees and the bushes, or me taking care of the people? The people, right? So I got to figure out when we're dealing with this surrender over control, do I surrender to the call that God's put on me to love people, or do I surrender to the need of the moment that's a bush that needs to be cut up? I'm always going to choose the call that God's put on my life. That's where we should always be. So we got to figure out what's our concern. Do we get so focused on controlling everything that we miss out on the most important? Or do we surrender to what God wants for us and allow Him to use us to do the ministry that we're all called to do? It's the ministry. And we got to be willing to do that. Is it worth your control? You can have control, and you can have growth, but you can't have both. You can't have such a tight grip on things that they can grow as well. It strangles it. You can, in a relationship, you can have intimacy, or you can have control, but you can't have both. You can't try to make your spouse be who you want them to be and then still have intimacy with them. You just can't do the two together. And so you got to be willing to choose which one is most important. Let me just meddle for a minute in your life. How many of you believe that your towels have to be folded a certain way? Come on. Hold them on up there. Yep. Because I got to tell you, that I'm in that group. So let me ask you this. In 5 years, is it really going to matter that your towels have been folded a certain way all these years? No, it's just not. Okay? It's just not going to. I'm trying to teach myself. I'm telling you. You guys should have to go through this all week long with me. I'm just telling you. This has been one of the worst messages and struggles that I've gone through in a long time, is choosing surrender over control. But here's the thing. If your kid walks out of the house with mismatched clothes and their hair all a mess, in 5 years, is it really going to matter that they did that? If you tell them it's okay and they keep on doing it, yeah. Because I'm not going to pick on anybody. So, but is that the case? Is it really going to matter? If someone leaves trash in their car and doesn't clean it up every single day, is it really going to matter in 5 years? I have a reason for asking that question, by the way. But anyway, so listen, we just got to get to the place that is it worth my concern to get so focused in on some of these things that we totally miss out? If we're trying to hold control of so many things, is it just worth our concern to even worry about them? Because there's other things that are more important. I think we got to learn that that's the case. The second thing is this. Is it mine to control? Is it mine to even control? Should it even matter? You know, is it something that I should even want to have my hands on? Listen, sometimes the answer is yes. Because I know what you were thinking. Like, oh, we're in church, so I should say no. But the truth is that yes, sometimes it is ours to control. Do you know that God doesn't want to do everything for you? If you think that you want that God wants to do everything for you, you haven't read the scriptures like I have. Because there's some points where we have to take with what God's given us, and we've got to go do what He tells us to do. We've got to go do it ourselves. The big difference, but there is a big difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. We still have responsibilities to do the things that we're told to do. He's not gonna grow our church. If you know that there's people that need a church and they're not plugged in anywhere, listen, if you're just thinking He's gonna like one day bring them here, we've missed out. We have a responsibility to go and invite people to come. We have a responsibility to invite people to come into a relationship with Jesus. It's part of who we are as believers. If you're messed up financially, listen, sitting around and waiting for that lottery call to come, you know, you ain't even bought a ticket, but you think, you know, one day you're going to win it. It's just not going to work out. If you're having trouble financially, listen, you might need to go get a second job. You might need to quit spending what you got the way you're spending it. But there's things that we have responsibility to, and sometimes it is ours to control it. If you're a single guy and you want to get married, listen, quit playing Pokemon all the time and Xbox in your mama's basement and get a job and get out. Go find some girls. You can't just sit and wait for God to do something for you that, listen, He's just not going to do. Because He's given you the ability, He's given you the things that you can do and use to make it happen. Sometimes it is ours to control. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's bigger than us and it's beyond us. But the truth is that when it comes to this thing, listen, we don't have to control it, but we do have to go and take care of our responsibilities. So is it worth your concern? Is it yours to control? And then third, is it for God alone? And this is where spiritual growth begins to teach us how things really work. This is where if we just continue to sit and not take on our responsibility of growing spiritually, this is where we're going to get left. And this is where control is going to become one of those things that eats us alive. Because we can't have it in everything. There are some things that God that only He can do, and we can't make it happen. We often try to hold on to these things, but we got to be willing to surrender to God the things that are for God to do, but we won't know it unless we know Him intimately. That's where Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 comes in, that we can't lean on our own understanding because we just can't understand everything. Some things are for God to be in charge of, and we need to let Him do it. Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing here. He's a chained man. He is in prison, chained to a Roman guard, and he writes these words that I'm about to read to you. Now think about that picture. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says this: do not be anxious about anything. I think if I'm chained to a Roman guard, I'm a little anxious right now. But Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In every situation. What situations are left out of every? None, right? That every situation we're to take to Him, that we're to be there by prayer and petition, we're to bring before God. Listen, don't insult God by saying, oh, I guess all we can do now is pray. Man, can you imagine how that must feel? to be God and for us to just be like, okay, I guess I'll pray now. I've tried everything else. I'm just going to pray. Man, that's our first line of offense. He has prepared us for that. He's given us that tool and that weapon to be able to go right after whatever it is that we need to see happen in our lives. He's given us that to not just sit back and wait, but in every situation to take it to Him in prayer. Some of us are in some pretty deep stuff. Some of us are struggling with some things that we're trying to control, but we haven't even stopped for 1 minute to pray about it and take it to Him. Some of us have issues with people to the point where we just won't even speak to them, but I bet you we're not praying for them either. This control thing is one of the issues that I believe can tear churches apart if we keep trying to control things that aren't for us to control. We can't ignore what we need to control and what we need to be a part of and what we need to be responsible for. But when churches begin to take on responsibilities that aren't theirs to take on, then they find themselves in this place. And so the first thing that we need to do before we do anything else, before we try to figure it all out, before we even know what the whole problem is, I believe we need to pray about it. Bring it to Him. How can we bring it to Him? It says that we do it with thanksgiving. How, what is that? It goes back to the trust of God. It goes back to being able to know the things that He has done for us. I look around the room, we all got a lot to be thankful for. Things that He's brought us through and He's helped us survive, literally. We can trust Him. Over and over and over again, we can trust Him. Not only in our own lives, but the things that we've seen Him do in others, the words and the promises that He gives us in the Bible, we can trust Him. And we can certainly be thankful for it. And He says, bring it to Him. Prayer's got to be the first line of offense, or offense, where we go after Him, where we go and we bring it to Him. Paul said, do it with thanksgiving. Be purposeful in your prayers, that you acknowledge Him for who He is and that there are things that He needs to be over and you don't need to be and I don't need to be. When we take it to Him, listen to what verse 7 says. He says the peace of God. Remember we talked about there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. We talk about that all the time. But he says when we do that with those things, when we bring them to Him with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, when we bring those to Him, that the peace of God then, which transforms all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. That means that now your mind begins to be the place, not where there's this craziness going on, this worry and anxiety, but it becomes this place where you begin to trust Him and believe Him and you just know that He's the one in charge. Being honest with you, lately has been kind of tough. This anxiety and this anxiousness has consumed me, quite frankly. Some of you say, you wouldn't know much about that, probably, Pastor. I can't tell you about it. You wouldn't know much about it. Let me tell you, I know about it. And the last month or so has been one of the most difficult times that I have dealt with. Just this stuff is just there. Where I felt like I couldn't tell anybody. I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. I felt like there was a lot of stuff going on, kind of up against different things. And it's just there. And so the reason that so much of that was there for me was because I wasn't looking at this from this perspective. I wasn't looking at it for who I could trust. I was looking at it for the one that I thought I could trust. The one that I knew was on my side. The one that I knew was going to do it the way that I thought it should be done. I wasn't trusting the one who really knows the plan and knows how to do it and is very way more capable of pulling it off than I am. See, we got to be able to know when it comes to some of these things, some of the anxiety and some of the things that we're struggling with and dealing with, it really comes down to the spiritual issue of just not being able to give all of that away to Him and know what's His and what's ours. And I'm telling you, when I say that, I don't say that lightly, because it's not easy to just give that stuff to Him. It's not easy just to come to that place. And I, quite frankly, I'm still struggling. I'm there. I'm with you. I'm in the middle of it. But when it comes down to this, I know that without a shadow of a doubt that I've got to choose surrender rather than control, because the more I try to control, the more fear of losing it I get. And so the more I try to grab because of that, the more fear of losing it I get. And eventually, I push God right out of the way, and I jump right in there. And can I tell you, after 48 years of trying to do that, you know, of knowing me and trying to do it, it ain't worked out so good when I've been the one in charge. But I can tell you, when I've let Him be in charge, I've never once been disappointed. I've never once been let down. And without a doubt, I know that His will was done and not mine. And so today, I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord with everything that you got. It's going to be difficult. You're going to have to give Him some things that maybe you've never in your whole life given to Him, whether you've been a believer a short time or a long time, that you've just never given it. For some of us, it's your marriage. You've just never given Him your marriage and said, you know what, I just believe that you can make it better, God. Some of us are your finances. You just say, you know what, it's just going to be like this. And I'm not going to trust you, God, to show me. You know, when you tell me I got to go get another job, I'm not going to believe it. Because I'm just thinking you're just going to make it all good. For some of us, it's our health. And we've just said, you know what, eat, drink, and be merry. I don't know about you, but my health ain't so great like it used to be, and I'm not so merry anymore. We need to think about the things that God's given us responsibility for, and then we need to think about the things that are just completely outside of what we can change, and we need to let Him have it. So what is it today? What do you choose? It's your choice. It's my choice, what I choose for me. It's your choice, what you choose for you. Are you going to choose surrender? Are you going to choose control? I think I know which one I want to choose. I know which one makes me and allows me to be who God created me to be. And as I grow into that, and as I get there, and as I allow that to happen, I can tell you that it's going to be a way more peaceful place. It's going to be a way more joyful place. It's going to be a way more godly place. What's your choice? God, we pray today that as we think about our choices, God, today we so often choose to grab life by the reins and just ride it as hard as we can and just hope it all works out. And God, you show us in your word that when we ride it out and we take it and we try to make it what we want it to be, God, that quite often we go against what your word is and what your plan is. God, it so much so, it came down that you had to send your son to earth to live a sinless, perfect life, to give us an example to live by. And you sent him to live out that example, but God, more importantly, you sent him to be the sacrifice for, for us because you knew we couldn't do it on our own. We wouldn't get it right by ourselves. And so God, you sent your son Jesus to live that example out, but more importantly, you sent him to be the sacrifice for our sin. And he gave his life on a cross, he hung there and he died. God, paying the price that we couldn't pay for ourselves. The price for us being in control. God, he was taken off that cross. He was buried. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead. God, demonstrating that it wasn't us in control. And it wasn't the enemy in control. But God, it was you in control. God, because of that, now we can be forgiven of our sin. We can be set free from the penalty of it. And God, we can spend forever in your presence. And so, God, for anyone in the room today who's never come to a place to acknowledge who Jesus is and what he's done for them and to accept the forgiveness he offers through that death on the cross and the eternal life you give us through his resurrection, God, I pray that this would be the moment that they would accept it and be changed. God, for those in the room that have accepted it, but God, we've over and over and over again tried to grab back control from you, God, I pray that this would be a moment of just being honest about it and real about it and knowing that they're not alone in it. That we all do it. And they'd be willing to confess it and be forgiven of it. And God, that they'd be willing to give control back over to you of every part of their life. God, help us where we fall short on that. Help us where we struggle. Help us, God, where we've thought we were so important that it was all about us and it was all up to us. God, help us to trust you and to not lean on what we can figure out, God, because that's not where the answers lie. It's not in what we can understand, but it's in who you are that the answers are found. God, help us to depend on you. Help us to trust you in those moments. So, God, I pray in this room that you would just begin to set people free from those chains of thinking that it's all about them. God, forgive me when I have done that. God, make us a church where people can come and be set free from the things that hold them back. And God, that they can be all that you want them to be. That this can be a place where maybe we don't get it right all the time, God, but it's a place where we can feel comfortable knowing that we don't. And that we can not just sit back and just accept it as wrong, but God, that we can do something about it. We find out what our responsibilities are and we take it and we follow you with it. But God, I pray that you'll just move in this time as we just have time to reflect on you and who you want to be in our life. God, just do what it is that you need to do, God. This is about you. God, I can't control this time. I can't make people accept you, but God, you certainly can draw them to you. And so I pray that you would do that now. God, use us however you need to. In Jesus' name, amen.